Great to have you along on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hi, Larry Mueller here. For many of us, Major Dick Winters is a wartime hero. But I think for most, a distant figure, certainly never. I never had the honor to meet him personally. You probably didn't either. But my guest today forged a deep and a close friendship with Major Winter, one that lasted over 13 years. And he's chronicled that in a new book that shares Major Winter's memories and wisdom. And I'm so happy to have you join us today on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. And my guest, Colonel Cole Kingseed. He is a 30-year Army veteran, served in a variety of command and staff positions, and is the author of the new book we'll be talking about, Conversations with Major Dick Winters, Life Lessons from the Commander of the Band of Brothers. And as we talk, I hope you'll join in with your own questions or comments. You may be familiar with the life and heroism of Major Dick Winters. Maybe a relative of yours served with him, or certainly served in the military. You may have some questions about him for Colonel Kingseed. Maybe you're a World War II veteran. That's less and less likely as time goes on. How do Major Winter's stories and lessons resonate with you? What are the lessons you've learned? Give us a call at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, and we'd certainly love to hear from you. Colonel Kingseed, welcome to the show. Thank you so much for taking time to be with us today. Really appreciate it.
Well, thank you, Larry. I appreciate you you inviting me.
It's a fascinating book. I really enjoyed reading it. And maybe you can first talk about when you first met Dick Winters.
Well, Dick Winters, as you know, Larry, was the central figure of the HBO miniseries Band of Brothers.
Yep.
I met Major Winters in 1998. While I was serving on the faculty, I was the chief of military history at the United States Military Academy at West Point, New York. And I used to encourage my officers to invite the veterans to speak to the cadets. And one of my officers invited Major Winters to speak, and over a casual dinner, I got to know the man, and that was the beginning of a relationship that later blossomed into a very beautiful friendship.
Yeah, and you began to visit him even on a monthly basis, if I'm not mistaken.
I did within the last decade of his life, and it was always the highlight of the month.
Yeah, I would bet, judging from what you talked about and what you've written about in the book, it just had to be a fascinating time to talk with him. And I know you are certainly a professional and expert on leadership and things of courage and character, and you've written about it many, many, many times in your professional career. So, and it must have really been something for you to hear his own version or his own thoughts on those very subjects.
You know, from the very first evening when we had dinner together, I felt that I was a student at the foot of the master, and I had a primer on leadership, on character and competence for the next 13 years.
Yeah, well, we've got callers online already who want to visit with you and have some comments. Again, you can join us with your own questions or comments at 1-800-642-1234. Or experiences. We hope if you have some experiences to share, we'd certainly love to hear from you. And I want to go to Lee in Menominee Falls, has something that I think relates to us right away here. Lee, thank you for calling.
Oh, thank you for having me talk to you. I was telling your screener that my friend and I went up to EA fly-in. I believe it was 3 years ago. It might have been two, but I'm not 100% sure. But they had some pilots that flew those CH-47s that dropped the parachutists over in D-Day.
Yeah.
And we were really interested in talking to him and them and that, because somebody during the conversation raised their hand and said, what about the Band of Brothers and Colonel Winters? And they said, we don't want to talk about him. And I just wondered if there's some kind of resentment against him for some reason, because I was very impressed with that movie. And if that's the way he was, end the war. My God, he's a hero for sure and a stand-up guy. And I just wondered if there was any kind of resentment against him over the years for some reason.
Oh, interesting question, Colonel Kingsley.
Yeah, you know what? It's not so much resentment per se, because listen, every man and woman who served in the armed forces or supported the armed services in World War II is a hero and a heroine in their own right. But sometimes, you know, when some an individual or some organization gains so much publicity, there's a tendency that the public acclaim focuses on them is rather than everybody else who served, who made equally great contributions. And I mentioned that to Major Winters. And I says, and he goes, you have to understand, Band of Brothers is not about me, but I really represent to the men and women who served in the armed forces in World War II. So, yeah, sometimes, you know, everyone is certainly very jealous of their own contributions, and rightly so. And sometimes I think there's a tendency that when the public focuses just on one individual, there's a maybe resentment may be the right word.
Yeah.
But it's nothing personal.
Yeah.
Well, I appreciate that, because we went up afterwards to talk to them guys, and they just said, no, we don't want to talk about that. So we were really kind of dumbfounded, the two of us. So
yeah,
I'm really glad you answered my question.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you very, very much for calling. You know, Colonel Kingsley, I think we should go back. I should go back. I was kind of remiss. I think we should sort of lay the groundwork so people understand who Major Winters was, or at least his service in the war, because it was obviously exemplary.
Well, Major Winters was the central figure of the HBO miniseries Band of Brothers. It was a 10-part miniseries. It focused on an airborne company that fought in the European War. It was based on a book by the historian Stephen Ambrose called Band of Brothers. And Band of Brothers focused on Easy Company from D-Day throughout the combat in the European theater, Holland, the Battle of the Bulge. And at war's end, they helped capture Hitler's Eagle's Nest. Dick Winters was the commander of that company for a part of the war.
It just The amount of courage he and his company exhibited was extraordinary. But as you say, probably no more extraordinary than many, many, many other companies.
That's exactly right. Listen, that generation, the greatest generation, were ordinary men and women who performed extraordinarily in times of great crisis, whether it was with the Great Depression, or certainly during the war.
Yeah. Talking today with Colonel Cole Kingsley, a 30-year Army veteran, has held a variety of command and staff positions, and a historian as well, who has written Conversations with Major Dick Winters, Life Lessons from the Commander of the Band of Brothers. Certainly invite you to join in with your own questions, comments, or your experiences. The number to call, 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org, or you can post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. We'd certainly love to hear from you. You know, as we were listening to our first caller talking about people not really wanting to talk about a specific person, one of the things I was really intrigued by in your book, as you talked about leadership, was the his philosophy about being a leader and how you lead. Sometimes, though, leaders, especially maybe especially in military operations, but maybe in general as well, you can't be the one on the front line, exactly on the front line every minute. You have to be back a little bit if you're going to be a leader.
Well, it depends on where you are within the organization. You know, Dick Winters definition of leadership would be follow me. But it sometimes, as you mentioned, Larry, sometimes you have to be able to step back so you can gain perspective. But whether it's a military leader, a corporate leader, or a teacher, to me, a leader is a person who has the determination and the ability to create exceptional results through people, students, or what have you. And that, to me, personifies Dick Winters.
Yeah, he was able to get so much. And he was, his comments about, about the ability to understand each individual and bring out the best in, and you can't treat everybody exactly the same.
Well, that's right. You must know your people.
We have more callers online, and I want to get them involved as well. Again, you can join us at 800-642-1234. I think the major said that he was going to, after the war, spend the remainder of his life in peace and quiet. That didn't happen.
No. You know what? That was his struggle. To find the peace that he promised himself if he survived D-Day. And what he told me was this: it's very easy for a soldier to find quiet, but peace has to come from within.
Mm.
And it was his lifelong quest to find that inner peace.
You know, you mentioned D-Day once. I want to just go back to that for a minute, because he talked about how combat changed, or the difference in his men following D-Day.
They had, I guess the best way to explain it is this. Baptism by fire is a soldier's sacrament. When Dick looked upon himself at D-Day, he said he felt that he was mentally prepared, and he felt that he had done everything necessary to prepare himself for that very moment. D-Day then, in retrospect, served as one of the defining moments in his life, as well as one of the defining moments in his development as a leader. He felt that he had measured up to the expectations of his men.
Yeah, I think he did. Mark in Cambridge, thank you for calling. Hi, appreciate your call.
Hello, I would just like to start my conversation here based on the premise that war, at least the wars that we were involved in, World War One and World War Two, were not to cause death, but to cause peace. And we got involved only at the point which we realized what we could do by entering into those wars was to cause peace. I am the editor of an autobiography of my wife's great grandfather. His name was James A. Drain Sr. He was the only man to serve in World War One with a significant handicap. He had a missing hand. And the book that I wrote is called Single Handed. But in the book, he talks about he was involved with tank warfare in the beginning of tank warfare and technology on the American side. And his goal was to cause the ending of that war and to save lives. So I'll just end it with that.
Thank you very much for calling. Colonel Kingseed, a comment.
Well, I think that's I think that's exactly true. Dick felt this. There's one message that he wants to make sure that everybody understands. War doesn't make men great, but war sometimes brings out the greatness in good men.
Yeah, it's a very good. This whole business about courage. You have a chapter in your book about courage, and go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, I was just going to say, courage is not the absence of fear, but rather the willingness to rise above fear and do the things that you know need to be accomplished.
Yeah.
And courage was very important. And it's not just physical courage, but more important is the moral courage to do the right thing all the time.
Yeah, the things that you that soldiers had, that he had to not suffer through, but to experience when you've got, let's say, the enemy is there with a gun and the enemy is supposedly giving up or surrendering, but you the gun is still in the enemy's hand. I mean, he talked about that in terms of a lot of times character and courage come through when you're making up your decision on to what to do with that person.
Yeah, character revolves about doing the right thing all the time. And character implies daily choices of right over wrong. What Dick said so many times, war doesn't alter character. War sometimes brings out the best that an individual has to offer. And that's really what happened with Dick Winters.
Yeah. Talking with Colonel Cole Kingseed today, author of Conversations with Major Dick Winters, Life Lessons from the Commander of the Band of Brothers. You can join in at 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@WPR.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mealer Show. I'm Larry Mealer. Judith Sears-Poisson, our producer, back from a little week off. Great to have her back. And great to have you listening in on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Great to have you listening in on the Ideas Network. A little bit later on in the program, along about 11:45 today, we'll be talking about Wisconsin. The Wisconsin Veterans Museum has a traveling exhibit, or I should say not one, but several traveling exhibits. And we want to talk about those exhibits today with a guest. Right now, though, we are talking about a book. The book is titled Conversations with Major Dick Winters, Life Lessons from the Commander of the Band of Brothers, with our guest, the writer, Colonel Cole Kingseed, 30-year Army veteran, also with a Ph.D. In history from The Ohio State University, and has written a fascinating book about Major Dick Winters. Again, join in at 800-642-1234. You can post on our Facebook page. Our Facebook page title is The Larry Mealer Show. You can go there. In fact, there was a comment from Jeanette on where the term the Band of Brothers comes from. We few, we happy few, we Band of Brothers, for today that sheds his blood with me shall be my brother. And, of course, as you well know, Colonel Kingseed, from Henry V, King Henry V by Shakespeare.
We all owe it to Shakespeare.
And
that's exactly right.
And, you know, we've got quite a Wisconsin connection here as well, because Stephen Ambrose was a professor of history at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. It was his home.
I know he was.
As his home university. And I had a chance to meet him. He's an interesting guy, for sure.
He was a remarkable historian.
Wasn't he? I'm telling you, his books, he was so able to bring to life, at least to my mind, to bring to life sometimes the horror of war, but also the courage and valor that so many showed.
Larry, I'll tell you a story about Ambrose. I kind of copied his style, his narrative style. Mm-hmm. And I told him that, and I thanked him for it. And he said, you're more than welcome, because I copied my style from a professor at Wisconsin. And what he taught me was this: when you tell stories about, or when you relate stories of a soldiers, let them do their own storytelling.
Yeah.
He goes, all I do is I just tell soldier stories.
Yeah.
And that's what I tried to do with Conversations with Major Dick Winters.
Yeah, you succeeded. You certainly succeeded.
You're very kind.
Chris in Wisconsin Dells, thanks a lot for waiting. Appreciate your call.
Hi, my dad was the flight engineer on a plane that flew spies into Nazi Germany. And just so people don't know how courageous this was, they flew 3 feet over the English Channel, and then they hopped bridges of trees all the way into Germany. And he's still alive, and he gave his story to the Library of Congress. It's all there. If you want to find out this stuff, all you have to do is contact the Library of Congress, and they'll give it all to you.
Oh.
Well, I will tell you, your dad is one of my heroes for all those men and women, what they did during the war.
Well, you know, he came back. Well, I also have – we had four – my grandparents had four sons in the war. The other three were on Iwo Jima. And they all came back alive, and they had seven sons all together that went to war. There were seven men in the family, and they all went to war in one state or another, and they all came back alive.
Well, that's God bless them all.
Yeah.
There was an article in the newspaper about it. It was like amazing. Everybody came back alive.
Yeah, that, especially given the harm's way that they were thrown into, obviously. Chris, thank you.
They were not sitting in Germany at the hospital serving dishes to people. They were there in the trenches, and they all came back alive. Everybody was healthy, and I don't know how happy they were, but they all came back.
Now, thank you very much for calling. Appreciate it. And again, I'll remind you, you can join in, too, with your own questions, comments, or experiences of your own or of your family members or friends. Love to hear from you at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show, and we would love to hear from you. Major Winters told you that after he left Easy Company, his band of brothers, he no longer felt a part of something.
He was no longer responsible for them. But his heart was always, always with Easy Company. What he told me was this: Easy Company made me. It really brought out the very best of me. And as I reflect upon my life since the war, I can honestly say that has been a lifetime search for the men like those that I knew in Easy Company.
Yeah, that's great. I before we go back to the phones or before I ask you any more questions, I wish you'd go back and tell us or describe for our listeners how you've organized the book and so forth. This is the result of years and years of conversations and friendship with Major Winters.
Yeah. You know what we ended up doing on that, Larry? And I was trying to figure out how do you, to me, it's not the writing. It's the organization of the book. And Dick and I talked about different stages in one's life. And I came upon, let's take it like through the seasons. Spring, that would have been the war years.
We're kind of losing you a little bit, Cole.
Uh-oh, I'm a little concerned about that.
Okay, now you're loud and clear.
Okay, I hope so. Well, I decided to have the book organized by seasons. Spring was the war years. Summer, that's when I met Dick Winters, and how we talked about begin working with the memoirs and the conversations. Autumn, that was after his memoirs Beyond Band of Brothers was published. And then we're talking about growing old, legacy, and everything else. And the final season, of course, is winter, and that's the last chapter where I knew him and in my last meeting with him, and then dealing all the way up through the memorial service.
Yeah, which is really all that is just a fascinating, fascinating story of how that all unfolded. Quite a bit with of course Stephen Ambrose comes into it, but Tom Hanks plays quite a role in your book as well.
Well, he was. Dick had a tremendous respect for Tom Hanks, Steven Spielberg, for bringing the stories of the veterans to life.
I tell you what, I saw that series when it came out, but your book has really inspired me to go back and view that series again.
Yeah. And hopefully we can get on here, Larry. We may be losing a connection here.
Oh, okay. No, we're pretty good. I think we're doing pretty good so far. Randy in Sauk County has a question for you, so let's go there. Randy, hi. Thank you for calling.
Yeah, thank you, and thank this gentleman for his diligence and service too. What I'm questioning is this. I grew up basically the hired man to a D-Day war veteran who would be working in the shop, and he would tell me his experiences. And at his funeral, he had no children. At his funeral, they gave me the flag off his casket and so on. I became quite close to him. And he told me a number of stories that as I went through his things and the photographs, he had been a squad leader, and he was in Patton's army and all the battles all the way to the siege at Nancy and the Battle of the Bulge and everything. And he told me a number of stories that I have had a hard time confirming that I think are quite interesting. And where could I go to get information on those the things he told me?
And the things he told you related to?
Well, like, for example, at the day of D-Day, he mentioned his the lieutenant that was in charge of his landing craft did a number of things that everybody would have perished had it not have been for a couple of unique things. I've mentioned those things, I won't belabor here, to other people, and they said, oh, that's just somebody saying something. And this man was not given, he was not given, he told very few things to few people. He was not given to exaggeration. And I meticulously remember these things he told me, you know.
Yeah. Well, that's Colonel Kingseed, a comment from you? You know what? I was afraid we might have lost him there. We had a little bit of, you know, Colonel Kingseed, we're getting him back here. Hold on a second. Here, let's see if we can get him on. Okay, we Colonel Kingseed, are you there?
I am here. I'm sorry for that miscommunication there.
No problem. We have Randy in Sauk County phoned in, grew up with an uncle who was a D-Day veteran, and he told Randy, the veteran, told Randy stories about the landing and about some of the things, Randy, that you wonder if there's a way that you can
find out the accuracy, or just actually give credit to, because he told me a number of wonderful things, actually, about the performance of different people. And as I've mentioned them to different historians, they said, oh, no, that's just a veteran speaking. And this man told very few people these stories, maybe no one else, and he was not given to exaggeration, you know.
Yeah, well, Colonel Kingseed, is there it's probably not a single way to look this up, but what would you suggest, as a historian, what would you suggest to Randy?
Well, I'll tell you, hey, Randy, if I were you, I would get a hold in New Orleans, the World War II Museum, who have collected, who have really collected all those wonderful oral histories of the D-Day veterans. And the United States Army is doing the exact same thing. But I would start at the World War II Museum in New Orleans.
And if you have names...
Yeah, he had a buddy, that one person that came year after year. He would only stop his work for this one person, and they would sit a day or two and speak about different people, and they would talk about different times they had been in an event, and everybody would have perished had it not have been for this, or I wonder how those folks are doing, and so on. And I just was quietly listening, not realizing really the incredible privilege it was to hear them speak, you know.
Well, yeah, that really, it really is a privilege, isn't it, Colonel Kingseed?
Well, you know, it is. It, you know, to me, and of course, particularly with tomorrow being Veterans Day.
Yeah.
I mean, to me, every day is Veterans Day. And just to be able to sit and listen and talk to a veteran, whether it's generations, one or two generations older, or current veterans, you need to just take the opportunity.
Yeah, absolutely. Randy, thank you. Thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. My daughter's grade school has every year a quite a nice evening program for veterans of all stripes, And it's a very moving experience. And the veterans who come are parade in and give their names and ranks, and some of them are, you know, not moving around as well as they, you know, there were. I think one of the fellows that was at the service Friday night was in his 90s, and it. And the kids at the school all write thank you notes. And
it's so important. And you know what? There's nothing that means more to a veteran of any age to have someone say thank you for your service.
Yeah, I'm telling you, it's a very. I defy anybody to sit through that whole evening and without shedding a tear at some point or another when they receive their cards.
I do it
cards.
All the time.
Yeah, it happens. Ron and Abrams, thank you for calling. Hello.
Good morning. I served at the end of the Korean War. I take veterans around to their appointments for many miles. And I drive, occasionally I drive a World War II veteran. He was a Marine. He was a hand-to-hand combat sniper. And I tell you, he can tell you his stories. He was on several of the islands. The thing is, he has been fighting for years to try and get his Purple Heart. And they say they can't find his records. And I find this goes on with several of the veterans after the other, that they keep saying they can't find their records. Now, I think that's ridiculous, and I'm trying to help this man. He's 90, going to be 91 years old. He gets around good, yet he drives yet. And for some reason, they can't find his records for his Purple Heart.
Oh, that's sad. Colonel Kingseed, go ahead.
Well, you know what? I assume that you've already tried to talk to the local veterans bureau on that. You know what? It's just yesterday, President Obama presented to the heirs of Lieutenant Alonzo Cushing, a West Point graduate in 1861 who died on the third day at Gettysburg. You know what? Sometimes it's a good idea to write a congressman on that, because sometimes they can he or she can cut through some of that bureaucracy.
Yeah.
But we owe it to these men and women for them to receive their awards.
Ron, our senators, we have a Democrat senator and we have a Republican senator, and I think they're usually opposed. But on this one, I think you might find, I know you would find that they would be cooperating in helping bring that about. So I think Colonel Kingseed's got a great, great idea there. And I hope you'll follow up and contact our senators. Typically, they're back to you within 24 hours.
That was my next move, yeah.
Yeah, that's really, or your congressperson, so... whoever's your member of Congress. So very good advice from Colonel Kingseed. And again, thank you so much for calling. I want to give Scott in Onalaska a chance.
Yes. I also want to make sure, though, thank you for your service.
Yes, thank you very much. Yes, thank you very much for your service. And Scott in Onalaska, thank you for calling.
Hi, Larry. Hi, Colonel.
Hi.
I have an interesting story. I'm great today. And I have a little story about a gentleman that's in a nursing home in West Salem, Wisconsin. And I'm a dental technician. I work for a variety of dentists in the area.
Yeah.
And I was delivering a little plate for some guy who ran over his plate in the wheelchair. We had to remake it for him.
Yeah.
And he had expressed interest. He said, boy, I wish I would have had this when they did the filming down in the New Orleans of the World War II Museum. And I said, what was that? And he told me he flew 26 missions, I believe in a B-21,
yeah,
where they were acting as like decoys and stuff. And I said, well, here's your teeth, buddy. Today they're free. I was astounded. And I routinely stop and talk to this gentleman, still sit there and watch the History Channel with him, and just a great, great guy, and people need to realize what these men and women went through during this time.
Yeah.
Well, that's exactly right. It's the and I think it's our responsibility to help them tell their stories and to share their stories, and that's the whole reason why I began working with the veterans to tell their stories as well.
Yeah, Scott, thank you so much for calling. I really appreciate your call. You know, we've talked about Major Winters and his. His wife was a lovely person as well, who you grew quite close to and fond of.
Well, she was a remarkable woman, and assisted Dick. What the Dick Winters we know, he could not have been able to do tell those stories without Ethel. She was just a remarkable woman.
You know, of all the conversations you had with Major Winters, can you identify perhaps the most notable lesson from him that you carry with you every day?
Yeah, his favorite saying was "hang tough," and he says that what that means, you do your very best every day at school, your job, and everything else. You don't have to have all the answers. There's no way you should expect that from yourself. But the lesson is this: at the end of the day, you can look at yourself in the mirror and say, "Today I did my best." Then you're being honest to yourself, and everything else will be okay.
I mean, that's a great lesson, isn't it, man? And it's a wonderful book that you've written, Colonel Kingseed. And I as I said, I'm going to go back and look back on the Band of Brothers series again, and actually pick up. I've got Stephen Ambrose's book, a Band of Brothers book, and I haven't read it in a while, and I may just turn back to that as well. After reading your book, it was it's really inspired me to do that. Thank you so much for being with us today. Thank you for your military service, and thanks as well for writing this book. I really appreciate it.
Thank you, Larry.
Yeah, thank you so much, Colonel Cole Kingseed. 30-year Army veteran, served a variety of command and staff positions, and along the way, he had his Ph.D. in history from Ohio State, an M.A. in national security, and strategic studies from the U.S. Naval War College, taught at West Point, served as chief of military history there for several years, and is the author of the book we were talking about today, Conversations with Major Dick Winters, Life Lessons from the Commander of the Band of Brothers. And, you know, we really didn't get into everything. Certainly, there's quite a bit about the Warriors. The first few chapters deal with the Battle of the Bulge and some other things. And then there's some interesting, really interesting chapters, I think, about courage and character and leadership that apply. I mean, certainly he explains how it applied in the military situation, but you'll also learn how you might apply it in your own work or life situation. So certainly well worth taking a look at. And well worth hanging on today as well, because coming up, we're going to take a look at some traveling exhibits from the Wisconsin Veterans Museum that are wonderful exhibits, and I'm sure you're going to want to see them. So hang in here. Christine Zicker coming up next on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.